WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We continue our Holiday Week music series with singer, guitarist, and songwriter Tom Petty. This year marked the 30th anniversary of his first album with his band The Heartbreakers. Since then, they've sold more than 50 million records. Petty's songs include American Girl, Breakdown, Listen to Her Heart, Don't Do Me Like That, Refugee, I Won't Back Down, and Running Down a Dream. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2002, the first year they were eligible. As a member of the Traveling Wilburys from 1988 to 1990, Petty performed with several of the people he most admired, Bob Dylan, George Harrison, and Roy Orbison. I spoke with Petty in July when he released a solo CD of new songs called Highway Companion. Let's start with the opening track, Saving Grace.
I'm passing sleeping cities, fading by degrees, not believing all I see to be so. I'm flying over backyards, country homes and ranches, watching life between the branches below. And it's hard to say who you are these days, but you run on anyway, don't you, baby? You keep running for another place to find that saving grace. I'm moving on alone over ground that no one owns, past statues that atone for my sins.
In addition to recording and touring, Tom Petty hosts his own radio show on the XM satellite network. I asked him what radio meant to him as a kid.
Everything. You know, I still see it as this really magical thing. It was wonderful. I didn't have the money to have a vast record collection, so I learned everything really from the radio. And in the, you know, in the mid-60s, AM radio, pop radio, was just this incredible thing that played all kinds of music, you know, just you could hear Frank Sinatra right into the Yardbirds, you know, or the Beatles, into Dean Martin. It was just, it was this amazing thing, and I miss it in a way, because music has become so compartmentalized now, but in those days it was all right in one spot. And that's, you know, we used to learn, you know, when I was 15 or 16 playing in groups, we used to sit in the car and try to write the lyrics down as the song was playing. And we'd assign each person a verse. You know, I'm going to do the first one, and you go for the second one. And then sometimes you'd wait an hour for it to come on again, you know, so you could finish it up.
What's a song you did that with?
I'll tell you, the hardest one was Get Off My Cloud by the Stones. It had so many words.
Oh, and fast, too.
Yeah, and it took us a good three hours to get that one written down. But it was that kind of thing. It was a friend, you know, and it was something that was there. You didn't really think about it that much, but looking back on it, it was such a musical education.
You grew up in Gainesville, Florida. I know, I think there's a branch of the University of Florida in Gainesville, right?
It is there, the University of Florida, the whole thing.
So were you in a college part of Gainesville, or were you in a different part of town?
No, I was in the redneck hillbilly part. I wasn't part of the academic circle, but it's an interesting place because you can meet almost any kind of person from many walks of life because of the university. But it's really surrounded by this kind of very rural kind of people that are you know, they're farmers or, you know, tractor drivers or, you know, just all kind of game wardens, you name it, you know. So it's an interesting blend. My family wasn't involved in the college, you know. They were more of just your white trash kind of, you know, family. And so I have that kind of background, but I always kind of aspired to be something else. And I made a lot of different friends over the years that were, you know, passing through.
Now, you had an uncle. I guess this is a famous story in your life because you got to meet Elvis Presley on a movie set when you were 11 through an uncle of yours who was doing something on the set, though I'm not sure what.
Yeah. Yeah, I had an uncle by marriage who was the kind of, he was very into film. He was the guy in town that developed all the film, and he had a movie camera. He used to film the college basketball practices and football practices, and when a movie came nearby, as a lot of them did around northern Florida, he would usually hire on to a set and work in some capacity. And he was working on an Elvis Presley movie in 1961, I think, Follow That Dream, it was called. And I was invited there by my aunt, drove me down to see Elvis. And I really didn't have much idea of who Elvis was. I was only 11. But we did indeed go there, and it was quite a circus, you know, a lot of, as you'd expect, you know, mobs in the street, and he was just back from the army, and but I didn't really talk with him. I mean, he just sort of nodded my way, you know. Was introduced by my uncle as, you know, these are my nephew and my. My two cousins were with me, and he just, I don't remember what he said really, but I was very impressed by it. And when I went home, I kind of scoured the neighborhood and came up with some old Elvis records, and I started listening to them, and they really took me over. You know, and these were all 50s records, and I had a friend who's older sister had gone to college and left this beautiful box of 45s of rock and roll, you know, from the 50s. And I loved it, you know. It just spoke to me. It seemed like such a magical place, you know. And the odd thing was, in those days, there was no information about the records, you know. I was dying to know stuff about them, and there was no such thing then as a book on rock and roll or
liner notes.
Yeah, there were fan magazines, but there was nothing really, you know, intelligent. You know, there was, you know, you could read Elvis's Favorite Color, but you really didn't know, you know, much about the records. And finally, I did find a book in England. I had to send away to England and pay a buck, send a buck to England, and they sent me a discography that lined up how the records, you know, came out and when they were made and this and that. And so from there on, I got really interested in all the you know, Jerry Lewis, Carl Perkins, all these people. So I was just this 11-year-old kid, and I was already, you know, not involved with my own generation. until the Beatles came, I sort of felt, in the Stones and all that British invasion, I kind of felt like that was my generation. And that was interesting to me because they were playing this 50s music in a slightly different way.
So how long did it take after that until you started to play something yourself?
Well, the idea had never dawned on me until I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, like so many musicians did. I didn't think you could just become a rock and roll singer. I didn't see how it could happen, you know, because you needed to be in a movie and have the music appear on the beach and stuff. So I didn't see how one would get that together, you know. So when I saw the Beatles, it sort of hit me like a lightning bolt to the brain that, oh, I see, you know, you have your friends and you all learn an instrument and you're a self-contained unit. This is brilliant, you know, and this looks like a great, great job to me. And apparently it did to lots of people, because very quickly after that, there were bands forming, you know, in garages all over town. And I was just one in, you know, thousands of little bands that started then in around 64, 65.
My guest is Tom Petty. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tom Petty. His new solo CD is called Highway Companion. Here's a hit from his first album with the Heartbreakers, released 30 years ago. Roger McGuinn and the Byrds influenced you and influenced your guitar sound. He later recorded this song. What did it mean to you to, years later, after having been influenced by him, to have him record your song?
No, I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I couldn't believe, you know, people said, you sound like the Byrds. Well, we couldn't believe that we would, you know, even had the talent to sound like the Byrds, you know. So I was very taken back by it, and I was quickly invited over to meet Roger McGuinn, and I was very intimidated, but I went over and met him, and he told me that, he said, when I first heard this record, I thought it was, for a few minutes, I thought it was a Byrds outtake, and he invited us on tour with him, and we did go out on tour and became friends. We're still friends to this day, really.
Let me play another song that was, it's a great song, and it was a very popular song of yours. Johnny Cash recorded the song late in his life, and the song is I Won't Back Down, which you recorded in 1989. I know it's hard to talk about writing songs, but is there a story behind this one?
I wrote this song with Jeff Lynne. We wrote it in the studio while we were mixing another song, and it came very quickly, and I was actually worried about it. I thought that it was maybe just too direct. You know, I thought, well, there isn't really anything to hide behind here. You know, it's very bold and very blunt. There's not a lot of metaphor or any, you know, anywhere to go. And but I was encouraged by Jeff that, you know, no, it's really good. You should record this and go ahead with it. And it's turned out to be maybe, you know, the one song that's had the most influence on people that approach me on the street or talk to me in a restaurant or wherever I go, or mail that I've gotten over the years. It's been really important to a lot of people in their lives. And I'm glad I wrote it, and I'm kind of proud of it these days. And I was very, very proud when Johnny Cash did it.
Well, let's hear it from 1989. This is Tom Petty. That's Tom Petty, recorded in 1989. He has a new CD that's called Highway Companion. You recorded that song just a couple of years after an arsonist burned down your house. And the house was set on fire while you and your family were in it. Did your instincts kick in like they were supposed to when you realized that your house was on fire and that you and your wife and child had to get out of there?
They kick in pretty fast, you know, when your house is on fire. Yeah, they kicked in really fast, and it was a pretty horrific thing to happen. And I did just survive with the, you know, the clothes on my back, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, that had something to do with the songs like I Won't Back Down and things, because I felt really elated that they didn't get me, you know? Like, I kind of just, that was the thought that was going through my head, as, well, you bastard, you didn't get me, you know? I survived. But it's very hard to even believe that someone wants to kill you, you know? It's a very hard thing to go through. And, you know, when the police and the arson people are telling me that, you know, someone did it, I'm just going, well, surely there's a mistake, you know. It must have been a bad wire, or, you know. And, you know, they were absolutely sure there was no mistake. So the interesting thing about that is how many people called and confessed the following day.
Oh, you're kidding, really?
You know, yeah, they were confessing from all over America. And it was like, you know, people in New Jersey would call and confess. That then I realized just how bonkers people are, you know. It's like they're you know, there are some people that are really bonkers, and you have to be careful. But, you know, that was a, you know, that I never really talked about that much, because it stunned me so deeply. And I'm sure it had a great effect on the music I did, because I came back with this very positive, happy kind of music that I didn't want to go into any dark corner or anything like that. I was just so glad to be alive and to have escaped something like that. And, you know, it was also really traumatic and terrible, but part of it made me really be extra glad to just be alive.
My guest is Tom Petty. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the interview I recorded last July with songwriter, singer, and guitarist Tom Petty. The album he released this year is called Highway Companion. I want to play another record here, and this is one of Johnny Cash's albums. On the album Unchained, which was one of the albums he made later in his life, in that great series of American recordings. Yeah, you and the Heartbreakers backed him up on this. And how of all the bands in the world, how did you get to play with him?
Well, we have been friends a long time. I think 20 years when we did Unchained. I mean,
you and Johnny Cash have been friends?
Yeah, yeah. We became friends back in the early 80s. And John had made this, he was breaking out of a thing too, where he had kind of been disappointed in what he was doing in the Nashville world, you know, and he made this acoustic album that was really brilliant. It was his first American record. And then I guess the plan for the next one was to make a band record with a band. And he came to me, him and Rick Rubin, actually at the time we were talking about, when I was going through a pretty tough period. And they called me one day, both of them on the phone, and said, hey, why don't you come and play the bass on this record we're going to do? And I thought, that's great, you know. And so they got me out of the house, and then it grew from me playing the bass on the record to, hey, how about the Heartbreakers playing on the record? And it was a wonderful time, you know. We all went down and made a whole album with Johnny Cash, and it's I think it's some of the best playing the Heartbreakers ever did, you know. It turned out just great. I love that album to this day.
Well, here's a track from it. This is Sea of Heartbreak, Johnny Cash with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. The lights in the harbor don't shine for me. I'm like a lost ship adrift on the sea. The sea of heartbreak, lost love and loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine. How I wish you were mine again, my dear. I'm on this sea of tears. Sea of heartbreak. Oh, how did I lose you? Oh, where did I fail? Why did you leave me always to sail? This sea of heartbreak, lost love and loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine. How I wish you were mine again, my dear. I'm on this sea of tears, sea of heartbreak. Oh, what I'd give just to sail back to shore, back to your arms once more. Come to my rescue. Oh, come here to me. Take me and keep me away from the sea. Sea of heartbreak, lost love and loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine. How I wish you were mine again, my dear. I'm on this sea of tears, sea of heartbreak.
I think that when you're young and you fall in love with a song, it has this incredible impact on you, and the song just kind of stays in your mind for the rest of your life, and every time you hear it, you think about what that song meant to you and how your feelings about the song has evolved over the years. And you have, like, a bunch of songs that have that kind of place in people's minds. And I wonder if you think about that a lot, if you think about that special place that great songs have in the lives of young people and teenagers when they first hear them over and over.
I know the songs mean a lot to people, and it means a lot to me. You know, we just played this Bonnaroo Festival up in, it's in Tennessee. And, you know, there were 80,000 people there, and they were singing, you know, and I Won't Back Down so loud that it nearly drowned us out, you know. And I, you know, I was thinking at the time, you know, God, this is just so wonderful that this has reached people on this level, you know, and that people know the words to these things and it means something to them. So I don't want to sell them out if I don't have to. You know? And I know that a lot of music has meant, you know, has been important to me. You know, the rock and roll stuff is more than just something that you can manipulate into advertising or whatever they do with them. It means more than that to me. Right or wrong, that's what it, you know, that's the way I am.
Well, Tom Petty, thank you so much, and congratulations on the new CD and on, you know, 30 years with the Heartbreakers. That's it's kind of incredible.
Thanks for having me. It was nice to be here.
Tom Petty recorded over the summer when his solo album Highway Companion was released. Our Holiday Week series of recent interviews with great songwriters and singers continues tomorrow.